Today's radio program was our service this past Sunday at our facility here in Jacksonville. Be blessed as you listen. I'm taking a little bit different approach this morning, but I've entitled this Real Life People, Real Life Problems.
Hello.
Because we are real life people.
Yes, sir.
And everybody in here, most likely, is facing problems of one kind or another.
Amen.
And so, what I hope to do this morning is help you realize more fully who you are, what's available to you, if you're willing to access it.
Amen.
It's accessible. So, with that in mind, I'm going to read you a verse, then I'm going to have you read through the scriptures with me this morning if you can. Need not turn here now, but in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Where do you go from there?
Hello.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed.
Amen.
He's the same. He meets needs. When he was here on earth, he met needs then. He meets needs today. And I dare say that most of folks in here have needs of one kind or another. One kind or another. There were those who approached him in faith, and there are those who approach him in faith. There have been those, the Bible is full of them. And if we had access to that information, the world is full today of people who have approached him in faith. You're looking at one. I've had to approach him in faith, trusting him to do what only he could do. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been there too. You had to approach him with that which only he could do. I want you to open your Bibles firstly this morning to Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version this morning as opposed to the New King James Version. I want to take you to Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil, a demon, if you will. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the house, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. That word dogs there really interprets little puppies. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yea, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You got a distraught mother here, concerned about her daughter. We know so little about the daughter. We don't know the daughter's age. We don't know how long she's been afflicted with this malady. We just know that it's a continuing kind of malady. And he is going to a different region, Tyre and Phoenicia, trying to get some rest. They find out he's there. She finds out he's there. She comes to him, and she comes to him on behalf of her daughter. The daughter was demonized. You don't hear a lot of teaching and preaching about demonization.
No.
It's real.
Yes, sir.
Demonization is real. Spiritual warfare is real. You're up against unclean host of hell every day of your life. They try to infiltrate the thinking, your reactions, your responses to life. When you read the Word of God, you find out they attack physically, emotionally, spiritually. When it's demonic, there's not a medication that'll solve it.
Amen.
When it's demonic, no prescription will solve the problem. Most doctors won't have the foggiest idea what you're talking about. I was doing some research just to find out how prevalent the medical community is in the country concerning, in the countries of the world, concerning spiritual problems, spiritual warfare, physical ailments brought on by demons. And quite frankly, as you research the internet, you'll find out that for the most part, that's not an acceptable position. They'd rather send you to this or that or the other, but it's rare that they ever, if ever, say, well, it's in the spirit realm. They will send you to any number of medical practitioners as they seek to solve the problem, but when it's demons, a medical practitioner can't solve the problem. Now, let me slow down for just a moment before we get too deep into this. I came from an evidentiary background. We've got to be able to take it to court. When I first came into the ministry, quite frankly, I grew up in Southern Baptist and Independent Baptist churches. And we never had any real teaching on spiritual warfare, demons. Never taught about that. As far as I was concerned, demons were something for third world countries. We don't need them here. We got electricity. So I really kind of ignored much of it. And then once I finally surrendered to the ministry, after the years of running from God and military, commercial, employment, the whole thing, and then once I finally surrendered and got into the ministry, and I came home one day, and my wife said to me, a Southern Baptist pastor and his wife had given her a paper, a prayer, for Christians to pray who were suffering attacks from demons. And she gave it to me, and I looked at it, and I said, that's garbage. And I bought it up, and I threw it in the trash can. I've said this before. I think that's when the father said, son, you don't know near as much as you think you know.
Hello.
I'm going to have to teach you. So, quite frankly, what happened was God put me in situations where I had to face the reality. I had to face the reality of demons. I had to face the reality of unclean spirits. I had to face the reality of how they affect people physically, emotionally, spiritually. There's not an area of life that demons do not attack.
Amen.
Right.
It was hard for me coming from an evidentiary background. It was hard for me to come to grips with that. But I finally, the Lord put me in the classroom with it. And one of the first individuals that I won to Christ, I was on my knees with him when he got saved. He was a Roman Catholic and totally demonized. Demonized. And I was on my knees with him when he received Christ. Then about 22 months, as the Lord trained me and taught me dealing with him. And so I come through the process, an evidentiary process, a process of realism. where I had to come to grips with the fact that spiritual warfare is real. Unclean spirits are real. The Bible's full of it. But most pulpits won't handle it. Most pulpits are not going to address it because they don't want to be thought as being woo, woo, woo. It's in the Word of God. For example, today, as we come into this, here's a woman who comes to Jesus. She's acting as an intercessor on behalf of her daughter. And she goes to him, and she's telling him that her daughter has a problem. She says, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, with a demon. What does it mean to be grievously vexed with a demon? In this case, he would seize her. We have instances in the Word of God where an unclean spirit would seize an individual and do all manner of things with them. So she comes to Jesus. She's seeking help. She states the case and she receives what appears to be a harsh response. He says to her, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What he's basically saying to her is, this is not that time in my life when I deal with Gentiles. I'm not ministering to Gentiles at this time. I'm sent to the lost house of Israel, to the Jews. But she continues. She worshiped him, fell down at his feet, worshiping him, and said to him, Lord, help me. That's a good prayer. Sometimes you don't know what to pray.
No.
Sometimes you're in situations and circumstances that you yourself have difficulty identifying. And you have difficulty stating. But you can always say, Lord, help me.
Amen.
Lord, help me. He said to her, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the puppies, to the dogs. And she said, dogs at the table eat of the crumbs. I understand what you're saying. But I'm reminded as well that puppies who hang around the table eat the crumbs that fall from the table. You got ears to hear? What she's basically saying is, the dogs eat the scraps. The dogs eat the scraps. But she's saying to him, I'll take the scraps of your mercy.
Amen.
I'll take the scraps of your mercy. Now let me pause for just a moment. I'm here to say to you that the church is eat up with unbelief.
Amen.
The church is eat up with unbelief. The day is yet future when the only solution that the church will have will be Jesus. You see, I'm a firm believer. It's taken me years to get there. The church will be here during the tribulational period.
Amen.
And the church will be here when the only way you can purchase, shop, receive is if you receive the mark of the beast. If you receive the mark of the beast, I don't expect to be here then. I don't expect it in my lifetime. It's a process. I dare say that most of you in here will not be here when this comes into play.
Hallelujah.
But it's coming. It's coming. And at that time, once the one world order, and if you are sensitive to the times in which we're living, and if you watch incremental changes around the world, including a possibility of a new, if I might say it this way, approach to a United Nations, it's in the mix, folks. It's blowing in the wind. You're reading it today in the news. You're watching positions change politically, geographically, in the world today.
Yes.
You're watching positions change. Now, that is a continuation. It's going to continue. Why am I saying this to you? You're the only defense.
Hello.
The church is the only defense against the progression of this system of government. We have to give ourselves to intercessory prayer. I pray it almost daily. I'm standing against the work of the spirit of Antichrist. And I specifically talk about Korea, China, the Soviet Union, United States of America. I specifically state those nations because it's so prevalent there. And they're in the news. You have to understand you live in a world full of change. Well, our approach has to be the same as hers. If I'm going to get any help, if I'm going to get any relief, if the nation is going to get any relief, any help has got to come through Jesus.
Amen.
He's our only source. But the point I'm making here is that eventually, and I don't know how many of you have relatives who may be here during this time, but the day is coming when that individual we know as the Antichrist will be in charge, and the church will come under intense persecution. I've had to ask myself this. I mentioned this once before, but I want you to think about it and just be sensitive to it. When we start talking about rebuilding prison systems that have been shut down, now, the approach is we need to resurface and refurbish these penitentiaries so that we'll have a place to put all the illegals who are in the nation at this time. And that's the argument for getting the funding to rebuild certain prisons of the, and you've read about it, that have been shut down. But I look at it from a futuristic point of view. I look at it from a prophetic point of view. And I say to myself, is this Satan's way of just getting things ready for the church? For Christians to be incarcerated until you decide to take the mark of the beast. Now, once you decide to take the mark of the beast, and you can come out, take the mark, and you're good. You're good to go. Otherwise, you don't want what's going to happen to you in this prison. Somebody's going to say, Bob, are you a little bit off top, dead center now? Nope. I've read the Word of God. I know from the Word there's going to be a one world order, and I can defend it against anybody who wants to come against me. I can defend it. I can defend the fact that the church is going to be here during the tribulation period. It took me years to get there. But I can defend it. But then I go back to the 1700s and 1800s, and I found men back there who taught the same thing. I'm talking about scholars. I'm talking about scholars, men of letters, who had the same position. But over the years, it was eroded. And we had a lot of different doctrine coming into play. I've brought that in here into this part of the message because she's an intercessor. She goes before Jesus on behalf of her daughter. He, in a sense, kind of rebuffs her. She won't accept the rebuff. Will you? What do you do when you pray a thing for a week or two, a few weeks, a few months, and don't see the answer? Do you stay at it? Do you stay with it? He said, well, it's not right for to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Give it to the puppies. She comes right back at him, yes, but the dogs get the scraps from the table. I'll take the scraps. Would you say that to Jesus? Will you say to Jesus, I'll take the scraps of your mercy? I'll take the scraps of your goodness? I'll take the scraps. I'll take the leftovers. But I got a need. I got a problem. What I want to do in this message, before this day is over, I want a new approach to Christ to settle in your spirit. I'm willing to believe. I'm willing to receive. Help me believe. Help me receive. You see, this woman with this daughter has no other course. There's no other course. My daughter's demonized. The demon manifest. See, you have seen, some of you have seen the manifestation of a demon and didn't even know it was a manifestation of the demon. I'll never forget the day I had to go to the seminary, Dr. Gene. And I said, Gene, I got 5 members of my church sitting in this seminary. And the Lord had brought me through a series of levels of teaching me. And I said to him, I'm doing an exorcism today. And they're going into the ministry. And I'd like them to see this exorcism. He said, take them. So I had the wife bring the man in that I'd been working with for some 20 months. One Sunday afternoon, my wife and I laying on the bed, this guy calls me on the phone. And he's ranting and raving on the phone and cursing. And my wife taps me on the shoulder and says, look at your arms, look at your arms. And I had these big red claw marks showing up on my arms. Felt no pain, felt nothing. I just had these big red claw marks showing up on my arms. And I said, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. I kept dealing with him. Well, that day I went to the seminary and got those 5 students. Took him back, had the wife bring him in. And for about an hour, I dealt with unclean spirit after unclean spirit. And finally, the Holy Spirit told me which one to go for. And I called it forth. And when I did, he stood up and in a real guttural voice said, you don't want to see me? And he came to after me, come towards me, and I went back across the prayer rail between the prayer rail and the pulpit. Then he started for the door of the church. It was maybe 90, 100 yards back there. I outran him to the back door. And I got there and I said, in the name of Jesus, stop! I plead the blood of Christ across this doorway. You can't go through it. Shut up! Go back. Sit down. And he went back down and sat down. And about 5 minutes later, it was over. Amen. I'd called the last demon out. And we dealt with it. This is real, folks. I've lived it. I came into the ministry. I came from an evidentiary background. I got to be able to go to court. I wasn't willing to receive this kind of teaching. I wasn't really willing to receive this kind of doctrine. And God had to put me in the classroom. He had to put me in the situations. This woman is saying to Jesus, my daughter is demonized. You got people sitting in churches all over America today who are demonized.
Amen.
And you will find 2 in 10 that recognize they're demonized. You will find 2 in 10 that recognize this response of mine. Why do you think Paul keeps talking in the New Testament to Christians to get rid of the anger and the wrath and this and this and this and this and this? And behind each of those spiritual realities, there's another work at place there. It's real, folks. I wasn't going to go here this morning. But then the Lord moved on me to come here, so I'm here. My daughter is demonized. Would you please release her? When she said to him, yes, the dogs eat the crumbs, and I'll take the crumbs. Would you say that to Jesus today? I'll take the crumbs of your mercy. I'll take the crumbs of your goodness. I'll take the crumbs of your power. But I need relief. And Jesus said to her, that faith, I'll bless that faith. Your daughter's relieved. And the Word of God tells us from that hour, the daughter was relieved. That's just one instance in the Scripture. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front, coming from the background I come from, teaching what I'm teaching this morning, you've got to have ears to hear. You've got to have a willingness to receive the Word of God. My next one, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was healed, was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no man, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. I look at these scriptures and I say to myself, okay, when did he first notice that a patch on his skin? At some point in time, let's bring this into real life. This man had to recognize some little patch on his skin that caused him some concern. And then there may have been another patch. He may not have gone on the first one, but somewhere in the mix, as these patches show up on his skin, he knows he's got a problem. After the first indication. What is it in your life and my life that I don't take note of, that I should take note of, when I realize there's a little problem there? In my thought life? In my reactions? In my responses? Whatever it might be. But he goes to get confirmation. He has, now the Levitical priesthood was the only one that could confirm. So he goes to the Levitical priesthood, and they confirm, yes, you've got leprosy. You are now a leper. He had to recognize the reality. That's where we stumble a lot of times. We don't want to recognize reality. We don't want to recognize realities of what we are, what we're capable of. We don't want to recognize the reality behind the response. We don't want to recognize the reality behind our refusal to accept. He recognized the reality. I'm a leper. I wonder how many liars we have in here this morning. I wonder how many people in here this morning would look in the mirror and say, I'm a liar. I find it easy to lie. I'm a gossip. I find it easy to gossip. I'm prejudiced. I find it easy to be prejudiced. The list goes on and on and on. You see, the average bear sitting in church never takes the time to really slow down, sit down, and say, look, I've got to find every characteristic that's in my life that is unchristlike. Amen. I've got to recognize it for what it is. I've got to take it before the throne of God. Arrogance? I was eat up with it. Pride? Yep. Some of us have been there. We had to recognize anger. My fuse was about that long. I could flare in a heartbeat. And did. And then over the years, the Lord kept dealing and dealing and dealing and dealing. I'm not saying the whole fuse is gone, but I'm saying it's a lot longer than it used to be. Once we recognize, see, this guy, there come a point in his life, he said, wait a minute. I got to get confirmation on this. If this is what I think it is, and it was, okay, from that moment on now, when that is confirmed, he can no longer just mix and mingle with the community. He's isolated to a leper colony. He's mixing and mingling with lepers. But somehow this guy heard about Jesus, and he came to Jesus. You can help me if you will. I have confidence. You can help me if you will. I don't want to try to impress you, but given my background, I had to have evidence. I had to deal with reality, as ugly as reality was at times. I had to deal with reality. This is reality. This man was a leper. He comes to Jesus because there is no cure. There was no known cure for leprosy. He could not mix and mingle with the community. He was confined to a leper group, a leper colony. But he comes to Jesus. You can help me if you will. You're my only hope. There was no other hope. I'm going to bring it home to you now. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. There are people sitting in churches all over America today that have problems, situations, and circumstances. Yes, they're entertaining unclean spirits. And the only hope is Jesus. There's not a medical protocol that will solve the problem. There's not a bottle of pills that will solve the problem. The only hope is in Christ Jesus. But you've got people sitting in church today that are not going to go to their bedroom or wherever it may be, sit down before the Lord and say, I got a problem. And then name the problem. Is it arrogance? Is it pride? Is it unbelief? Is it hatred? Is it prejudice? Is it lying? Whatever it may be. And understand this. You came into the kingdom of God as a spiritual infant. And I've talked to this and talked to this, but I'm bringing it in again. You came into the kingdom of God as a spiritual infant. And you've got five distinct levels you've got to come through before you reach a modicum of spiritual
maturity.
And the average child of God, I'm convinced, never moves far beyond level two and maybe level three. I'm saying to you that the average person in church claiming Christ never really advances to spiritual maturity much beyond adolescence or teen years. And they kind of settle there. This leper came to Jesus. He knew Jesus was the only hope for him. And I'm saying to you that there are people sitting in churches and men standing behind pulpits today. Preachers are one of my strongest subjects, I pray. You tell me why God would call a man into the ministry and bring him into the ministry when he still has a whole host of ungodly problems in his life. But he does. And he did. I had a temper. I had issues I won't even discuss with you. That could flare in a moment. Flare in a moment. But the process, and some of you are there today, don't fight the process.
Amen.
Be willing to acknowledge and admit this is a part of my life. This is a part of my thinking. This is a part of my responses and reactions to life. This is a part of me. It's my attitude, my reaction, my response, my failure. And take it to Him. And be honest with Him. Lay it out before Him. I need help here, Lord. I need help here. You bump across all this in traffic. You bump across a lot of it in traffic. But that isn't every expression of life. So, he comes to Jesus. He needs help. There's no other source. And I'm saying to you, there are people sitting in churches today that he's the only source. But you got to go to him to get the help sometimes. Jesus is the only hope for his request. And I say once again, in how many churches today, in the choir, among the deacons, among the elders, the leadership of the church, there's problems. There's problems. There's problems. How many times I've never faced? Never faced. I've lived it. I know what I'm talking about. All I want you to do is be honest with yourself and God about your reactions, your responses to life, to events, to other individuals, whatever it may be. Now, our last item, we're going to come to Mark chapter 5. We're going to start reading with verse 25 through 34. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked around about him and heard that done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague." Here's a woman that had tried every medical protocol. She had exhausted every medical protocol. None the better. None the better. No doubt, at that time, there were medical protocols that you could approach for this kind of condition. And no doubt, she had approached those medical protocols. And then she heard about Jesus. Now it gets close to us. She had heard that Jesus could, but her question was, would he? You got the same thing in this room here. You got the same thing in auditoriums all across the nation today. They will give verbal expression to, "I believe he can." I don't know if he will. I believe he can. Now, let me tell you what I'm sensing right now. You've got people right now that do not want to face the reality of what we're talking about. They don't want to face the reality of the condition or the situation. And they will try anything in the world other than Christ. Say, "Well, I've been to him. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there and I've prayed it and I've prayed it and I've prayed it and I've prayed it and I've prayed it, but it's no better. And I keep praying until he answers. I either want him to say no or yes. This woman had tried all the medical protocols. None helped. Every medical protocol, she went to it. She checked doctor after doctor after doctor. No help. So she heard about Jesus. She heard that he could heal. I've heard something about that. I've heard that Jesus can heal. She was reluctant to approach him. Are you reluctant to go before him and just sit down and say, Lord, I got a problem? She was reluctant, but yes, she knew I need the touch. I need what he has to offer. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I need what he has to offer. And he is the only one in the universe that has it. It's not available anywhere else. I got people sitting here this morning. If God don't do it, it's not going to get done. If God doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. Do you believe? Yes, I believe. I believe he can. I'm not sure he will, but I believe he can. She had that same thing. She didn't go to him and say, would you touch me? I've got a bloody flux. I've got a hemorrhage situation. But she said, if I can just get up close to him and touch him, her faith, now that's where her faith was. Her faith was not to get him to lay his hands on her, but if I can just touch him, I'll be healed. That was her faith level. What is your faith level? Still, really had to stop to think about it. Maybe that's why you don't have any relief. We have to examine our faith level. And I know. Many of us will say, I believe that God can. I just don't know if he will. Well, one way to find out is keep asking. One way to find out is keep asking. I find places in Scripture where he didn't answer right away. But he wanted persistence. He wanted persistence. I've had to practice persistence in some areas of my life to get the result. So, she was reluctant to go to him and say, would you touch me? I got a problem. But she had the faith to believe, if I can work my way through this crowd, and if I can get to him, and if I can just touch his garment or the hem of his garment, I will be healed. That was our faith level. May I say something ugly and nasty now? May I? Okay. We will put our faith and our confidence in a pill bottle quicker than we will Jesus. We will put our faith and our confidence. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't take pills. And I'm not saying don't get a prescription filled. I'm not saying any of that. But I'm saying we need to know within ourselves, where is my faith? What is my faith level? What do I believe? What do I believe about this? What do I believe about that? Am I really willing to continue trusting and believing until I receive? And if I don't receive till I get to glory, I'll still give him praise.
Amen.
I'll still give him praise. This woman, I have no doubt, Now I'm going to cut through this nonsense. My background did not lend itself to easily receiving these truths. Folks, you don't know what I had to come through. You don't know the arguments I had with the Lord and how I tried to ignore. My wife gave me a prayer of restitution, repentance. Said, what do you think of this? And I balled it up and I threw it in the trash and I said, that's nonsense. And that's when the Holy Spirit said, you don't know near as much as you think you know. I'm going to teach you something. All I'm asking you to do this morning is be open with God. All I'm asking you to do is be transparent with God, be open with God, and say, Father God, I'm willing to believe, but I need your help.
Amen.
I'm willing to be willing to believe, but until I can get there, I need some relief. I need some comfort. I need some peace. So she wouldn't go to him. I'm saying to you, go to him. Mm-hmm. I do, I did, I have, I will. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't go to him. She sneaked up behind him and she touched his garment. And she knew in her body she had been healed. The touching of her garment, she felt it in her body. But Jesus. Jesus felt the touch of faith. When was the last time you touched Jesus in faith? When was the last time you touched Jesus in your prayer life with faith? And knew that you knew that you knew I'm on solid biblical ground. So she touched him in faith, in childlike faith. Working her way through the crowd, if I can just get to him, and if I can just touch his garment, I believe I will be healed. And she got there, and she touched him, and shoo, immediate healing. And she knew she had been healed. And Jesus knew that faith had touched him. When was the last time that you prayed in such a way that you knew that he knew that you had touched his in faith? He turned around and says, who touched me? The disciples say, who touched you? Lord, you're surrounded by people. Everybody's up against you. No, no, no. Somebody touched me in faith. Who touched me? And she, trembling, came to him and said, it was me. I didn't mean to offend, but it was me. I touched you in faith. And he honored the touch. He honored the touch. Our problem is our reluctance to approach him. We're reluctant to approach him with so much that we face in life. And then our second problem is that our faith sometimes falters at the thought of approaching him with that problem. I'm fixed to wrap this up. But I'm saying to you, I've been in this a long time, folks. I've been in this a while. I've preached in different churches of different levels of different denominations. And I've been there when I knew that I knew that I knew that we had people that would not receive the word. Sometimes we can find ourselves in the mix of the things we read in Scripture. We can find ourselves in the mix. You got nothing to lose. Hear me? I'm wrapping it up. You got nothing to lose by going to him and saying, I don't have the faith, but I got the problem. I don't have the faith, but I got the problem. And I'm coming to you in childlike faith and asking you to increase my faith by your Spirit so that I can receive the faith to believe. It's being open. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. I don't have the faith for this. I don't have, but I'm willing. I'm willing. You take your need to Him. And then you present the need to Him as a child of His. And you leave it there. I have been on my knees expressing a need in the ministry, physically, whatever. And got up off my knees or out of my chair while I was sitting. And I didn't have an answer. But I knew I had presented it.
Amen.
Now I leave the timing and the way up to Him.
Amen.
In the meantime, I remain faithful. I keep walking it out. And sometimes you wait weeks, days, and I have seen it happen in hours. Answered. Just like that. What I'm saying to you, don't be reluctant to take any situation you are facing before His throne. Go to Him with it. Gut out! Father, this is what I'm coming through. This is my problem. This is what I'm dealing with. I need help, Father. I need Your touch. I need Your peace. I need Your comfort. I need Your direction. I need understanding. I want to trust. I want to believe. I don't know where else to go with it. I practice what I preach. I practice what I preach. And I've seen God come through time after time after time.
Amen.
Now, sitting right where you are, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. What's your need? I want you to pray right now, asking the Lord to meet that need, whatever it may be. Maybe two or three needs. But I want you to take a few moments and say, Lord, would You do this? Would You do that? Tell the Lord what you would like for Him to do in your life, in your body, whatever it may be. Heavenly Father, I come before Your throne as an intercessor. And I want to agree with these who have made a request. I'm asking You to show Yourself strong. I'm asking You to increase faith. I'm asking You to bring relief where relief is needed. I'm asking You to bring assurance of faith where assurance is needed. I'm asking You, my Lord and my God, to hear prayer this morning. I'm agreeing with these who have prayed. Whatever their need may be, I agree with them. I ask You to receive the prayer, entertain the prayer, and in Your way, in Your timing, in Your means and method, hear and answer the prayer, and then let them give You the glory, the honor, and the praise.
Amen.
And Father God, this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If I knew how to close a service, I would, but I don't. So you got something you want to sing?
Everybody knows how to say this. We're going to exalt Jesus Christ. I exalt thee. We exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh, I exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, oh Lord. We exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, O Lord. We exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt.
Stand and repeat after me. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Overcome my unbelief. And be glorified in that which I've prayed today. And I will give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Go home now and be blessed.